Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
Can I just give you a little warning in relation to the next item? It contains details of sexual abuse, so please use your discretion if you're, especially if you're with younger people. A review into the handling of complaints of sexual abuse at the voluntary first aid organisation St John Ambulance has found its Gorda vetting system is incomplete, creating the potential for unvetted individuals to gain access to children. Mick Finnegan from Dublin was 14 when he was sexually abused by a senior figure in St John Ambulance Ireland, and I spoke to him earlier this afternoon. I began by asking him about his experience when he joined the organisation.
Yeah, I was 12 when I joined, when the grooming started almost immediately. You know, the perpetrator would use forced aid to kind of initiate physical contact with you, and then he would escalate it then to, it became sexualized, and then ultimately I was, raped, you know.
Do you mind me asking, the grooming started immediately, you say, and when,
yeah.
When did the abuse then start?
The grooming started immediately, and the abuse started within the year, like, of joining, you know, like, he would touch you, you know, his MO would be to kind of get you to touch the inside of his groin initially, you know, and he would say that was the most accurate way of measuring someone's pulse, which was the femoral artery. And then it would escalate from there, you know. So the abuse and the grooming went hand in hand, you know.
My goodness. And you were 12, 13, 14. I mean, you mustn't have understood really what was going on.
I hadn't a clue initially, you know. I joined the organisation, like, where I grew up in the flat. Like, we couldn't afford to go to the watch the football.
Yeah.
And my grandma was a caretaker in the resource centre, and we found out you could get to watch the matches for free if you were in St John Ambulance.
Yeah.
So like, that was like the only, I only wanted to watch,
yeah,
the Irish soccer team, you know, and then
you were there to advance yourself and for fun as well. It must mean a sense of pride for you as well to be involved,
yeah,
in St John.
Initially, it was great crack, you know, like the uniform, learning a new skill, new friends. But it turned, you know, it got very dark very quick, you know.
And it was incessant.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was just non-stop, you know. He would turn up to your house uninvited, unannounced. He'd say there was duties that were on that didn't exist. You know, he'd take you off to, you know, either his house or someone else's house. Do you know what I mean? There was times where you were on duty and he'd sexually abuse you, you know, in the back of an ambulance, you know.
Yeah.
He was just so blatant in his approach. Looking back on it now, you know, terrifying, you know.
Yeah.
I got a bit older and I started to kind of cop on to what was happening, and you know, he just pinned me down to a bed and punched the life out of me from behind and pulled my tracksuit bottoms down and raped me. And when he finished, he just pulled my trousers back up as if, like, nothing happened, you know. And, come on, let's get you home. It was almost like it didn't, like, the way he was going on, it was like as if it didn't happen. Horrible time, you know. It was just, every now and again I get flashbacks of that, you know.
My goodness. Mick, I'm so sorry. And I know, yeah. I know you've told this story, but it cannot be easy on a day like today.
No, it's like, it's not easy today because it's like all of a sudden everyone believes you, because, you know, Jeffrey Shannon was very forensic in his approach. Do you know what I mean? You know, when I came forward, you know, nobody believed me, you know, to the point where, you know, it led to the breakdown of the family home. I ended up on the street sleeping rough, accessing homeless services. And then ultimately navigating psychiatric services in London, you know, because of the trauma I experienced.
You tried to tell people, Mick.
Sorry?
You tried to tell people.
I tried to tell everyone, yeah. Went to the guards, nothing happened. And, told St. John Ambulance, nothing happened. And yeah, nobody wanted to know. You know, it's a massive weight lifted off my shoulders today. Do you know what I mean?
I'm
The
sure it
truth, the
is.
truth's finally out there.
Did you ever get any acknowledgement or apology from the organisation?
Only up until today, yeah. Not really. No, I had people that were like, they feel sorry for you, you know. You know, they like everybody knew what he was like, but because he was such a high-ranking officer, he was untouchable.
So were people, individuals within the organisation, Mick, saying, what were they saying to you? You said that they everybody knew. What did they
Yeah,
say?
like the like. I only became aware of this later on as an adult, you know, when I was living in the UK. But they would say like, "Oh yeah, we knew we couldn't leave our kids with him." What they mean by kids, like the cadets, their division.
Yeah.
So your man had the run of his own division, and he could do what he liked. And I think a large part of that was to do with the fact that the division was in a socioeconomically deprived area. You know what I mean?
So
No one really cared.
he
Nobody really
felt
cared about us.
it's just, can I ask you about your reaction to the findings in the report today? You got the report at 8 a.m. you said, and you went through it. So the report, as we said, it says that St. John's Ambulance failed to properly intervene or investigate suspicions or knowledge of child protection risks, as you were outlining to us, even though they were highly visible, and there was a significant degree of awareness within the organisation to really serious threats and risks to children. So what do you make of that? I mean, that's you saying earlier that the truth is now out.
Yeah, like I feel like it's you know vindicated, you know, it's you know, like I never thought I'd get to this day, you know. Like I never thought I'd get to the point to this point, you know, particularly because when I was younger and stuff, I really struggled with my mental health, and I would have, you know, would have attempted suicide to try and to escape from how I was feeling because of what happened and stuff like that. And I never thought I'd get to see this report. I never thought this day would come. I never thought there would be that accountability. I just can't believe it. That's the truth.
Are you able to say to yourself that you've beaten this, or is that too superficial?
No, like I think it's, you know, I'm very lucky, you know, that I've got a great counsellor, and I've got a brilliant GP and stuff like that, you know, and I'm able to kind of, you know, even go as far as to say I've forgiven the perpetrator, if that makes sense. Because, you know, I wouldn't be able to move on with my life if I hadn't have, you know, I would have still been quite angry and bitter, and you know, but now I just feel sorry for him, and I feel sorry for the people that remain silent. Today's just been very overwhelming. That's the
I'm
truth.
sure it
This has
has.
been this
But the way you describe it, Mick, it's a mark of you as a man that the progress you have made, given the suffering that you've undergone over the last number of years since the abuse. Can I ask you about something that is distressing in the report as well, something else that's distressing? It found evidence of serious incidents being reported in recent years. They said with major shortcomings in how St. John's Ambulance has responded. Several modern day allegations of grooming and sexual abuse of young children. So it's not as if it's in the past altogether. Does that worry you?
Of course, it worries me. Do you know what I mean? Like, the reason I opened my mouth was because I wouldn't want anyone to experience what I went through. You know, it's horrible, you know, to yeah, I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Can I ask you finally, Mick, before I let you go, how are you? People will want to know, having listened to your story, how is Mick Finnegan today?
I I'm emotionally drained. That's the truth. Yeah, I'm emotionally drained. I'm sad I had to take for something like this to happen, to be believed. To take this long to get to where we are, it's just, I just hope that the work that Dr. Shannon does, I just hope that we treat people better moving forward, I think doing the right thing goes a long way. It's just a lot about being kind and doing the right thing, I think.
Yeah, and you did the right thing, Mick, and you have been vindicated today.
Yeah, I can't believe it. You know what I mean? Just can't.
And that was Mick Finnegan speaking with me a little bit earlier on. Now, if you've been affected by any of the issues raised in this interview, please contact RTE/helplines. There is help available. We did ask a spokesperson for St. John Ambulance if they could respond to the programme, but no one was available. And they have published an apology and a response to the review on their website. And you can watch RTE Investigates St. John Ambulance Sidelined report on primetime tonight at RTE 1 9:35 p.m. and also on the RTE player. In relation to calls for the board of St. John Ambulance to resign, the organisation has stated in their response document that a refreshed board will be constituted later in 2023, which will continue to ensure St. John Ambulance Ireland has safeguarding at the heart of its agenda. 51551.